Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, if you have not been out and about by the Winthrop Farm area, I would strongly encourage you to do that, because it looks like a rainbow of colors out there, because the U.S. Disc Golf Championship is underway on a nice windy day, and we have with us a couple of the world-renowned disc golf players. A young man by the name of George Sappenfield, who happens to have some connection with how this thing all got started. We'll learn about that in a minute. And Andy Young, who, up until, I don't know what the year was the only lady in the world who was out there playing disc golf. Is that about right?
It felt that way for quite a while.
All right.
It did.
So let's do some introductions. Andy, tell us about you.
Well, this game, I was always cut in class to play Frisbee back in the late 70s and early 80s, and became an all-around disciplined Frisbee player. And at one of these all-around tournaments, I stumbled on to disc golf and never looked back. And in 1982, I joined the Professional Disc Golf Association and started pioneering the sport from New Orleans to Detroit, and then transferred to Houston, Texas in 1989, where there was absolutely zero places to play, and began establishing the sport in Houston. And today, I think we have maybe about 100 courses up 50 miles from the coast. And purchased and owned a disc golf facility, 9 holes of golf. Asked me about fertilizer, greens, taking care of turf. I'll tell you all about that. But we also established a disc golf facility there and ran that for about 12 years. And, man, thank God, sold that last year. But I took on the Disc Golf Hall of Fame. I said I'd do it for 3 years, and now it's going on 6. And, so here I am now, Executive Director of the World Disc Golf Hall of Fame.
Good for you. We're going to learn about the Hall of Fame in a moment. George, it's your turn.
Okay. All right. Well, I started my Frisbee career in the late 1950s when the first plastics was made, called Pluto platters, back in the day. And my neighbor, when I was 14 years old, threw me a Pluto platter, and I was fascinated by the way it flew. And so he and I would play catch. And so I have been, playing with flying discs for a long time. And we'll probably get into some of the stories. But I was fortunate enough to kind of be one of the creators of this sport, and that was in Fresno, California. And I graduated with a recreation degree, got a job in Thousand Oaks, California. That'll all be part of the story later on. But a long time.
All right, before we get too far afield on this, I want to make sure we talk about the World Disc Golf Hall of Fame, because you two are members of this now, are you not?
Yes, we were inducted in the same year, in 2018, and the funny story is when I got the call, I said, well, who's in my class? And Speedy Guerrero, who was the administrator prior to me taking over first and having George come along with me, he said who my classmate was, Jay Redding, and then he said, George Sappenfield, and I said, who's that? So, needless to say, I looked in my history, and there was George Sappenfield, and I read about him. We met at our induction in Augusta, Georgia, at the International Disc Golf Center, where we shared our induction ceremony. From the minute that we met each other, it was like plugging into an electrical socket, and I had agreed to take on this administrative position with the Hall of Fame. And I remember I was a couple of months into it, and I called George, and I said, I'm not doing this without you.
Oh, so
I hopped on, because so we are kind of joined at the hip with all this.
So the World Disc Golf Hall of Fame, I mean, the name, I understand what it's all about, is recognizing the best players in the world in this game?
It's recognizing the founders, the contributors, and the best athletes. Yeah,
not just players.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So you got in.
So I got in. Exactly right. Yeah.
Long overdue.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So it's time for the story.
Okay.
All right. Now, you know, everything out in the world has a beginning. Right. And you are the beginning of disc golf. Now tell me about the assignment that you had.
Okay. All right. Well, this I started in college in 64, 65, but I said, you know, I've been playing catch with frisbees and
like everybody was doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so the and disc golf didn't exist. Frisbee golf didn't exist, but people were playing golf with disc, but hitting trees and light poles, and let's see how many shots it takes to hit that stop sign and all that. So no one really invented the game itself, but what had to happen for it to grow was to have a permanent hole or a standardized hole. And
rather than that great big oak tree over there.
Right, okay. Exactly right. Wow. Yeah. And so my degree in college was in recreation.
Okay.
And so one of my instructors said that you are wasting taxpayer money and equipment if you don't use everything. Okay. All right. So my part-time job was a recreation leader, and I had a playground that had a picnic area that was hardly ever used. And in my equipment room, there were frisbees and hula hoops, and we would play with frisbees, but no one was doing anything with hula hoops. So it was a Friday afternoon, and I was out playing ball golf, and I was off in the woods waiting my turn to hit, and I'm trying to think what to do with that land and the equipment, and I literally see in front of me a hula hoop with a frisbee flying through it, and I'm on a golf course. And so I said, well, we'll do that. So then Saturday, the next day, I got there and I told the kids, okay, we're going to design a frisbee golf course on this picnic area. You know, so we got wooden stakes, put those in the ground, tied the hoops to it so they were vertical. Yeah. And so we set up holes that were, you know, maybe 50, 60 feet around this.
Yeah. And the object was to throw the disc through the hoop.
Right, yeah. And so you had a place to tee off. You threw it wherever the disc stopped. You picked that up and threw it until you got it through the hoop. And you could go through either side and all that. And so we did that probably every couple of weeks. We'd set up the course and stuff.
So when did somebody finally realize, hey, he's got an idea here, we ought to do something with this?
Well, what happened, like I said, you know, people were playing golf, you know, their version of golf.
Yeah.
But I'm talking frisbee golf, hitting trees and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, yeah, when I graduated from college, I got a job in Thousand Oaks, California as a recreation supervisor. So I decided we would have a frisbee golf tournament. And I wrote to Whammo, who made frisbees and hula hoops, see if they would donate frisbees and hula hoops for this frisbee golf tournament, which they did. And so we had a 9-hole course, great kids. And what was interesting was we designed it for kids, but the parents were playing and having a good time. And Whammo sent out one of their PR guys to see this because they hadn't heard of it, and they were trying to introduce Frisbee, take it from a toy to being a sporting goods item. And so they were looking for things that were more sport related. And so anyway, long story short, the PR guy went back. Ed Hedrick was the general manager of Whammo, and he told Ed that this was really a neat thing. Okay. they had created, WAMU had created the International Frisbee Association.
What?
Okay. In 1967. So when you bought a Frisbee then, there was a postcard in it with two slots for two quarters. And you sent that in, and then you became a member of the International Frisbee Association, the IFA, right? My IFA number was 209, because I immediately sent my 50 cents in, okay? So the reason I mentioned that is because the IFA was starting to sanction different Frisbee events and things. So anyway, that course we set up in Thousand Oaks in May of 1969. Found out in the summer of 1969 that Ed Hedrick and the IFA were going to have what they called an all-comers meet for Frisbee players.
Okay.
In Brookside Park outside the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. So they had like four or five different events, trick catching, you know, distance throwing, all that. So I called WAMU to see if they would have set up if we could set up a nine-hole Frisbee golf course. No, didn't really have the room. I don't think anybody's interested, all that. So on my third attempt, they said yes. So on November 2nd, we set up a nine-hole Frisbee golf course at this park, and it was all ages of people participating.
Right.
So that was the first officially sanctioned, standardized hole design course in the history of Frisbee golf.
So along comes a guy by the name of Dave Dunipace. Is that his name?
Dave Dunipace.
Yeah.
Tim Selinsky, yeah, and Harold Duvall.
All right, tell me that story. I'm taking this Frisbee thing and WAMU. I'm surprised WAMU didn't just grab this whole thing and run with it.
Well, that's another interesting story.
And they wish
story.
They would have, yeah. too, at this point.
Okay, tell me the story.
Well, they were out there in Southern California area as well, all three of them, and they were playing Frisbee golf, and I believe it was Dave who was into molding plastic, thinking about this different way to help improve on the Frisbee. The first discs that came out that were kind of made to play Frisbee golf, Ed Hedrick did those at WAMU. He injected phosphorus into the Frisbees, which not only made them glow, but it made them heavier, and so they flew better. And so along comes Dave Dunipace and thinking about molding it, but I believe wasn't, what was his name that was before that with the Super Puppy? They decided...
Jan Sobel.
Yeah. They decided to mold a disc, but put a beveled edge on it instead of a rounded edge. And so in 1983, Dave Dunipace produced a disc that had a beveled edge on it, and it was originally called the Eagle, the original Eagle, and that beveled edge pretty much revolutionized the sport of disc golf.
And I guess he was smart enough to go ahead and patent that thing so nobody could take it from it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he did.
But that was, you know, that was in the early 80s.
Right.
So the 70s was the transitioning of actually creating the basket that is now used.
Mm-hmm. All right. Quickly, tell me that story.
Right, and so that, you know, mine was the hula hoop. There's Jim Palmieri who lived in Rochester, New York. He had his version of Frisbee golf that you threw it into a basket on the ground.
Like a peach basket.
Right.
Okay.
And then others had, you know, they put tape on the trees, you know, 2 feet apart, and you had to hit between there.
We did that.
So, yeah. So that was up until 1975. Mm-hmm. And then Ed Hedrick, we used to have the World Frisbee Championships at the Rose Bowl starting in 1974.
And Ed was with WAMU.
And so in 1975, we took Oak Grove Park, which is near the Rose Bowl, and he created a permanent Frisbee golf course using a pole, just a... you know, standard pole that stood right. up about 4 or 5 feet. And so then in 1976 was when the basket was created, and Ed created that basket, and so that's what's been used ever
since. A catching
since.
Contraption, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what we see out there today.
Yeah. And
the pole with the chains. And
okay. Right. And the interesting
evolved.
Thing, yeah, and the interesting thing about the basket is that Ed firmly believed that a Frisbee is supposed to fly horizontally. So if you had something on the ground, it was flying vertically into that, so he didn't like that. Okay. With just a standardized pole, sometimes you couldn't tell whether the disc actually hit the pole or not, you know. So there were a lot of arguments that, you know, I hit it, no, you didn't hit it. So that's where the basket came in. And the chains were to, you know, you were still throwing it horizontal, but you hit the chains and it knocks it into the basket.
That makes a lot of noise.
Right, and that's the other part of it, is that you can hear it. So if you are playing disc golf off in a wooded course, all of a sudden you hear
chains.
So you know somebody has made it.
All right, we're going to have to take our mid-program break and remind everybody that they are listening to Straight Talk. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, Frisbee guys and gals, I told you about this. You see the white letters? It's all about this restaurant, Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How do they do it? Why do people keep coming back? At the count of three, we're going to tell them. One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Stuck in the office? Can't get away from school? Then go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring your sub or salad to you at home, school, the office, or even where you're watching the game. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Ready for a win-win? For a limited time, upgrade your ride for less and score a chance to win the ultimate football experience. That's right. From now until October 31st, apply for an auto loan at a reduced rate with Founders Federal Credit Union, and you're automatically entered to win four tickets to the Clemson versus USC game in Death Valley on November 30th, an exclusive Death Valley experience and a Founders tailgate package. Stop by a Founders office or apply online today. Visit foundersfcu.com/auto to learn more. Terms and conditions apply. No purchase necessary. Membership qualification required.
Dr. Carrie Watson, the trauma medical director at Piedmont Medical Center, says she's very proud of what's being accomplished at Piedmont.
We are able to do robotic surgery. We are a robotic center of excellence, and that's robotic surgery for general surgery like gallbladders, hernias, colon. We also have robotic urology, so that's things like kidney removals and things with your bladder. We also have robotic neurosurgery that we're doing, and that's pretty amazing. Not a lot of places have that.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
If life is getting in the way of having your favorite substation sub or salad, there is a solution. Just go to our website, mysubstationii.com, click on your delivery choice, place your order, and they'll bring it to you wherever you are. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop. This is Charlie Ruffalo, and I paid for this message.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we're talking about disc golf, because the U.S. Disc Golf Championship is underway as we speak at the Winthrop University course, which of course is at the farm, and everybody knows anything about Rock Hill knows what the farm is. So we have with us today Andy Young, who's the executive director of the World Disc Golf Hall of Fame and her able-bodied assistant executive director and founder of Disc Golf, George Sappenfield. I tell you, it's a fascinating story. We could spend 2 hours more talking about it. But let's talk about this venue here today. because from what you just described, George, it's morphed into something that I don't think anybody could have imagined 20 years ago. Here we are at the at what is called the Augusta of disc golf. Is that an overstatement or not?
No, that's very accurate. The USDGC in its 26th year of our sport is the most prestigious event in our sport at this point. It has the most respect, the biggest draw, the most excitement, and has evolved into the biggest disc golf festival that goes on. Granted, the Europeans are working real hard to rival this at this point, and they're doing a really good job. But yeah, here in the United States, Jonathan Poole has laid a foundation for an event here in Rock Hill. Everybody talks about, I'm going to Rock Hill. Oh, you're going to USDGC. So yeah, it is well known.
Now, the players who are here in this have had to qualify in some way. Is that correct?
Yes.
They play so many tournaments a year, they get points, or how it works?
Yes, that is correct.
And then they get an invitation to come here.
Yes, they do. And then there are also openings for those that didn't make it. They get one last chance, the Monday qualifier. So players come in on Monday and try to play their heart out and qualify for those last spots.
And we have players literally from all over the world, do we not?
Yes. Yes, we do.
I don't know how many foreign countries are represented here today, but I'll bet you Scandinavia's here.
There's a lot of Scandinavians here.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. And Estonia, Finland, Sweden, and let's see, Canada have a lot of players here. So we're getting players from all over the world at this point.
And to show you how this thing has grown, we were talking beforehand. When I first saw this being played 20 years ago here at Winthrop, and we had a chance to do some of the broadcasting of the event, it was nothing like it is today. Now you have this whole great big village that's got, I don't know, 50 tents out there that have got all kinds of vendors and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's like a Woodstock.
Yes, and ironically, we were here. That only began in 2021. We came to Rock Hill on a wing and a prayer in 2020 when the entire disc golf tour had been shut down. It was our first official year as the administrators and directors. We had elected a class for the Hall of Fame.
World Disc Golf Hall
gotcha.
Of Fame.
And so everything, the tour had been closed down. And I reached out to Jonathan because the USDGC was going to go on. They had gotten permission from Winthrop to have the event, no spectators, everything to do with the pandemic safety. And so I reached out to him and said, we have a class that we've elected. We have no way to honor them. And he said, come to Rock Hill and we'll figure it out. And we did a live broadcast on the deck of the shack up there in 2020. And so the next year, everybody, things were coming back online and getting a little bit more back to normal, and they decided to experiment and for the first time ever invite a few vendors to come in, and we were lined up right there across from hole 7 on the course. And of course he invited us back to do the induction ceremony, and we came and did that in 2021. And what started out as about 7 to 10 vendors along with the Innova Pro Shop right there has morphed into what you're seeing today, which is just amazing.
And I would think that the pandemic must have helped this sport, because people were looking for ways to get outside and get away from each other.
Right, tremendously, yeah.
It was like being on a rocket ship.
Right.
Really?
Pioneering a sport for 40 years, George, for 50-plus years, and us just watching slow increments of growth, you know, maybe 10% a year for years and years and years, and then we hit the pandemic years. And I owned a 9-hole golf course and, you know, 30 holes of disc golf at the same time, and we just went through the roof. I mean, 200%+ for almost 2 years straight. It was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the manufacturers had trouble having enough product.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of manufacturers, we haven't mentioned Innova.
Right.
And we have a local guy here by the name, Harold Duvall.
Harold Duvall. Duvall. Uh-huh.
Sorry, right, George.
Yeah.
I don't see him that often. So Harold,
yeah.
George, same thing.
George is a good name.
So how did Harold get hooked up with all this?
Harold was with in California. He lived in California with Tim Salinski.
Then he got married. And
Duvall.
His wife made him come to Rock Hill.
Right.
I remember that part.
And they decided to establish Innova East on the East Coast. Smart right. business move.
Dave Dunapace. He and Harold were together.
Yeah.
Okay. So they manufacture them on the left coast, and they distribute them here on the right coast. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most people say west and east, but I just say
no,
left and
that's
right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So we have here to this weekend. I don't. I mean, how many players are playing? Got invited to play.
I think it's 150 total.
150 mm-hmm. of them. But the entourage with them mm-hmm. is much more than that. I mean, there's thousands of people out there going to be walking this course.
There are thousands of people, spectators, that come out to enjoy this venue. And in addition to that, all the players have their own entourages. I mean, disc golf Boy. Players now on the Pro Tour, they have caddies, and we have people to help sponsors and people there to, you know, give them massages and get them in ice baths and keep them healthy. And, yeah, we're going the total athletic avenue.
Well, I tell you, if you ever want to enjoy a walk over the weekend and you know nothing about disc golf, get yourself a ticket and come here. We used to take our dog and we would walk the dog as long as the dog has behaved themselves on a leash. They were welcome, I gather they still are. And it's you just get to walk that whole course, and it's quite something. You got all kinds of elevations. You got water hazards. You got the wind. The
yes.
wind out there today.
Today,
right.
yes.
Yeah. Well, and there are men and women's divisions, and the other part of the program here is the throw pink.
It's benefits cancer survivors. It's in October, right. And so Sarah Nicholson started the throw pink event for the women's part of it. They did have a women's division some years ago. For a long time, the USDGC was only a men's tournament,
right.
And
they learned.
They learned. Yes, they did. And so I believe Throw Pink now, along with USDGC, is in its fourth year, I believe. Completely amazing participation.
Good.
And, yes, and they a big fundraiser for the for breast cancer. So that is a huge part of USDGC at this point. And we are looking forward to, like, tomorrow is Women's Day. All women that come to USDGC get in for free.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. So we'll have that. And like you were talking about, the excitement of watching this particular tournament.
Oh, yeah.
The women play. Their tee times are all through the morning. The men, they're all through the afternoon. And so my guys know that as bad as I am, I get to a point where, okay, you guys, you got it under control. I got to go. I got to go watch.
That's great. Well, I guess the sky's the limit for disc golf, because it certainly has taken off. You told me there's 15,000 courses across,
15,000.
Across
yeah.
the world.
Every continent.
Every continent's got a disc golf course.
Including Antarctica.
Antarctica.
Has a course.
And Iceland. Tell him how many are in Iceland.
Yeah. Iceland now has 100. But my wife and I were there last spring, and I figured there were 12 courses. There were 85.
And they do those courses around all the volcanoes. That are
exactly right.
Blah, 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 right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, listen, we've run out of time. Thank you very much, Andy Young and George Sappenfield. Thank you, all the disc golf players who are here enjoying Rock Hill and this tournament that you bring here, which is just really exciting. If you've never been out there, you need to go out and watch this, because it really is like the Augusta of disc golf. I mean, it's just, people are well behaved. They do the clapping thing and all that stuff. Even old guys like this over here should get himself on out there.
Well, there's an old saying that when a ball dreams, it's a frisbee.
And with that, we're going to say thank you to our sponsors, Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. One more time, what do we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop? We do it 6 days a week, between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. What do? Fresh Southern Salads, 1, 2, 3 is how we do it.
Slice. Garden.
Have yourself a wonderful U.S. Disc Golf Day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.